You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to show number 298. Today is Sunday, May 17th, 2015, and my name is Steve. No Hammy tonight, but I am joined by Curtis. And Kurt, tonight's show is sponsored by Front Row Seats. If you're looking for Braves tickets or any other tickets for sporting events or shows, you'll get them at the best price online, guaranteed. Use discount code ABT at the Front Row Seats checkout page, and you won't pay any service fees. Visit FrontRowSeatsLLC.com or download the Front Row Seats mobile app. That's FrontRowSeatsLLC.com. All right, Kurt, in tonight's show, we'll talk about the new-look lineup, what we saw from Tehran and Wood this weekend, the Mike Minor surgery, and the Eric Stoltz move to the bullpen. But first, Kurt, let's bask in the glow of Shelby Miller for a second. Because, my God, and we'll start with today, it really was a masterpiece. I couldn't believe, I mean, obviously the almost no-hitter. I mean, he got to the ninth inning, and I think when he started the ninth inning, he was at like 82 pitches. So amazing control with his fastball, great economy with his pitches. Do you remember the first couple starts? Like I think he won his first couple starts, but I saw, I was at that, his first start in Miami, and a lot of guys went to full counts. Remember his first two or three starts? He never got out of the fifth inning. Like, he looked good, but he's gone to this whole other level now. I mean, his ERA is 1.36. His WHIP is below 90. DOB tweeted out today that, among qualifiers in MLB, he's the leader in ERA, WHIP, opponent's average, and opponent's on base. I mean, Shelby Miller's been all world.
It's astonishing. I mean, I don't think, did any of us have a clue that this is what we were getting? I was reading that a couple of years ago, they were thinking that he was going to be in the group with Matt Harvey and Jose Fernandez and guys like that. And then he had the season last year, which was not terrible, but obviously a step back. And I guess maybe that's why the Cardinals were willing to let him go, that they kind of thought that this was a guy that maybe was not going to reach that potential. And like you said, we get to reap the benefits of it. I mean, in May, it's 25 innings pitched, one earned run, and seven hits. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's just crazy. And the only loss he has, he gave up two earned runs. So it's just amazing stuff. I mean, to start today, 70 strikes. I mean, that in itself is just amazing. Out of what he had, 94 pitches or something like that that he threw. And it was virtually all fastballs, which we've talked about the need for, at least I have, for years now, about the fact that, Jim, when you go into the playoffs, and I know we're obviously getting maybe a season ahead of ourselves here, but that you need really, beyond an ace, you need a power throwing ace. And to just anchor the rotation, to be at the start, to go up against some of these other pitchers that you'll have to go against, and to be able to overpower opposing lineups. And I mean, you throw 85 fastballs today,
And was hitting 95 in the ninth inning.
Yeah, and hit 97 at some point to strike Stanton out. So yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing stuff. You hope that this is a coup that we were able to pull this deal off. I mean, I keep thinking of Wainwright, that this is final retribution for that. And of course he's had the injuries, so it's even now taken a step ahead of that. Of course, we're way early on that, but I'm just going to, as you say, bask in this all and just enjoy it, because it's a miracle.
Yeah, and his not going deep into games thing, that is a thing of the past, at least over his last four starts. His last four starts, 7 innings, 9 innings, 7 innings, and then today again, of course, 9 innings. Just terrific. And imagine if Julio can figure it out, that 1-2 at the top of the lineup for years to come.
And with Wood,
right, who looks like is figuring some things out as well. But, I mean, just just amazing. I liked your tweet today. He pitched so good, he got a manager fired.
Yeah, that's right. Mike Redmond fired minutes after the game today.
You know, and I really expected that this season was going to be this kind of game, but us being on the other side of it, of, oh God, just don't no hit us. Just let us get, you know, the offense was going to be so anemic that we'd be facing this, and it's us on the other side. What a day. What a great day.
So not to jump into that too deeply, because that's certainly not a topic that we had decided that we were going to talk about tonight. But with that, were all of these people wrong?
About the offense?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We're about, let's call it 20% into the season. They're certainly wrong so far. You know, you've got Jace Peterson, who no one expected was going to do this. Freddie's had an amazing bounce back year. Simmons is a much better offensive player than we thought. Markakis is who we thought he was going to be. Center field has not been a huge black hole. Przinski's still sort of out of his mind. Yeah, I mean, so far they're wrong. There's no doubt about it. Can we sustain it? I think that there's a number of sustainable pieces to the lineup we're seeing already in you know, four or five. Peterson, who's two now? Sorry. Simmons? No, Simmons is down to five.
Gosselin was batting there.
Right. Gosselin was batting there. I mean, Gosselin and Cunningham, who knows, right? But Peterson and Simmons and Freeman and Markakis, you know, I don't think those guys are going away this year. The offense is going to be better than people thought.
Yeah, and you look at the batting averages, and it's not all like last year, 220, 225, 235, you know? I mean, there's certainly guys that are doing that, but it's not like this overriding theme. We used to joke when we'd go to games and you'd look up at the big board and see the batting averages of the starters. And it's like, is this like a fill-in roster or something? But it was all the starters. They were just all that terrible.
Yeah. It's been a remarkable start to the offense so far. But the offense took a hit this week with the Kelly Johnson injury. So he moves to the DL, and it resulted in a reshuffling of the batting order over the weekend in Florida. So Peterson to the one, as we mentioned, Markakis batting cleanup, Simmons to the five, lots of Todd Cunningham and Phil Gosselin. Kurt, what do you think about the new lineup so far?
So far, so good. I mean, you've gotten, 36 hits, 16 runs in the three games that this lineup has been put together. And I know it's obviously an extremely small sample size, but that's all we've got to go by right now. I mean, the last three games that we had the other lineup with Kelly Johnson in there. And I mean, when would you have ever thought that the offense took a big hit when Kelly Johnson went on the DL?
When Kelly Johnson, the team home run leader, went to the DL.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you know, it's an interesting lineup, as you were saying before, that you're putting a rookie at the top and Markakis in the four, but so far so good. Let's ride it out. Obviously the Gosselin hitting well and then hurting his thumb, we'll see what kind of impact that has. But
anything about how long he's going to be out? I haven't.
I saw a quote from him that he said he didn't think it was bad and that he, you know, was going to check with the doctors, but just felt like it was sprained and nothing more than that. And so he expected to not miss really much time at all.
How exciting for he and Cunningham both to just go bonkers this weekend.
Yeah. And Siriaco, too, came up and was nice. So, I mean, you know, there's points which we've kind of debated back and forth. Who do you play? Who do you sit? And Kiaspo has certainly earned a seat on the bench with the way absolutely. He's been hitting. So, yeah, it's great for all these guys to get the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, the piece parts that Freddie has don't all sort of fit in those typical pieces. Because on paper, right, you know, a rookie in the one doesn't necessarily make sense. A guy who's just figured it out, right? I mean, Peterson's had this amazing month, but do you run the risk of all of a sudden now you sort of get in his head about, I need to approach this differently, all that jazz. You know, Peterson is fourth on the team and on base behind Markakis, Freddie, and Simba But I get it. You're not putting any of those guys in the one. Well, I mean, unless you keep Markakis. But you're not putting Freddie in the one, obviously. Simba doesn't seem to be super comfortable there. You know, we put a guy with no home runs as our cleanup hitter in Markakis. Freddie makes more sense, but it seems like Freddie really likes the three when Freddie G moved Freddie F back into the third spot. His offensive numbers took off. And in theory, Markakis will start to hit home runs. I mean, he's always hit, you know, we should expect 12 to 15 home runs from Markakis. So, yeah, so far so good. As you said, it would be great if this, you know, I let myself think about a few years ago when we put Hayward in the one and the offense just took off.
Yeah.
You know, until he got hit in the jaw, of course. But maybe this is really like another step for the offense with the offense with these guys and these pieces.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I cut myself off, but we just had that series against the Reds, which obviously is a very hitter-friendly park, and didn't score a bunch of runs up there.
Right, and didn't hit a bunch of home runs.
Right, and didn't get a bunch of hits. So, yeah, so far so good.
All right, so Kurt, the first two games of the Marlins sweep were pitched by Julio and Alex Wood. Were you encouraged by either of their starts?
Wood much more than Tehran. Tehran is still not looking himself. You know, he had the base or the early base runners in the first.
He had like 30 pitches the first inning, right?
Yeah,
something like that.
And he only had 10 swing and misses and 103 pitches, 9 hits. So it just not a great day. And you read the quotes just like, oh, he was grinding and he didn't have his best stuff. And you kind of wonder, you know, when can we expect to see that again? Because that's what we're all anxiously awaiting. And Wood's start was much better and built on a good start that he had. Obviously, he had a rough first inning against the Nationals in his last start, but then, you know, only gave up 3 hits in the last 5 2/3 that he pitched in that game. So he gives up the huge home run to Stanton, which seemed like everybody on the Braves did this week, and had one other unearned run. It's a season high 7 innings. So, yeah, I mean, it's much more encouraging from Wood than it was from Tehran.
Yeah, I mean, there were some good signs from Tehran, certainly, in that the earned runs were down compared to his last start. The walks per 9 and the home runs per 9 were down. But like you said, over 100 pitches just to get through 5 2/3. And, you know, I've gotten in the habit now the next day going back and watching. If you have the MLB app, they do this condensed game thing, and it's like, you know, 12 to 14 minutes long, and it's really weird. I don't know if you've ever done it, but there's no announcer, so it's just like you just get the sound from some microphone that's down near someone's dugout, because you hear like bats rattling and stuff, but whatever. The condensed game just does like all the sort of big action moments of the game, strikeouts, hits, whatever. And the hits that Julio gave up, I mean, those pitches had so much of the plate. Like, a lot of this is still command issues for him.
Right.
So, better results, you know, except for the innings pitched. But he just doesn't look like the same guy. And no one has any answers about what it is. You know, no one can point to anything really. I mean, there was he's not throwing enough fastballs, and he threw more last start, but he gave up 6 runs. He actually threw less fastballs this start compared to last start and only gave up 1 earned. Yeah, it's really a bit of a mystery there. But and I totally agree with you on Wood. Longest start of the year, on a good trajectory in that regard from 6 2/3 in his last one. His ground ball rate this weekend was his highest of the year, and he just looked in command. I mean, that sort of eye test stuff. He looked like a pitcher who was figuring it out. All right, so Kurt,
exactly.
Next up, next up is Fair or Foul, but first a quick word from Front Row Seats. Get the best deals on tickets online. Visit frontrowseatsllc.com and use discount code ABT, and you won't be charged any service fees. Again, frontrowseatsllc.com. All right, so Kurt, is Fair or Foul? I throw something out there, and you agree with it fair or disagree with it foul. So today, Freddie announced that Eric Stoltz is moving to the bullpen and that Williams Perez, just like we all thought, would be getting the start in his place. So fair or foul first, you like taking Stoltz out of the rotation?
Yes, but we now have the most expensive and crappiest long relief corps in Major League Baseball.
You do not want to face Stoltz and Cahill. In a
yes.
Game. Come on.
That we'll call him Shayhill.
But you think it was time?
Yeah, absolutely. His last start was bad.
All right, how about Perez being the guy?
I didn't really know much about him. I looked at some of his numbers. Obviously, he had that first impression that he left with us, which was really bad. His second outing was not nearly as bad. The guy's only 23. He looks like he's 35, but he's had a nice, decent, productive minor league career. I mean, his career is 30-23 with a 3.32 ERA. He's pitched 504 innings, so it's not like he's, straight out of A ball and has never really had any experience. I mean, the guy's been around for a 23-year-old. So, yeah, sure, why not? I mean, let's see what he's got to offer. And I guess they're still holding some of these other guys back just to give them more time to really develop themselves. And this is kind of a mid-level guy they're just kind of going to throw out there to see what happens. And sure, why not? Give him a chance.
Yeah, so I would have given Stoltz one more try. I mean, his last five starts from the oldest one to the most recent, 6 innings, 1 run, 6 1/3, 2 runs, 7 innings, 6 runs, 6 innings, 3 runs, and then his last one, this most recent one, was 5 innings, 5 runs. And he gave up 2 homers in each of his last 3 starts, which I think was probably the most troubling thing for them. And it didn't look like things were getting better in that regard. But, you know, the issue is, so you're going to throw Williams Perez out there, who's not really stretched out. I mean, his last appearance was in the Cincy series, and he threw 2 innings of no run ball. That was great after that terrible Nationals appearance, or he gave up whatever 4 runs and 1/3 of an inning. But Perez isn't going to go long, right? It's going to tax the bullpen again. You know, Stoltz has 2 of the last 3 have been real bad, but sandwiched in the middle was a pretty good start. I don't know. I just would have. And you're right, right? They clearly don't think that Banuelos or Whistler are ready yet, or they would have brought one of those guys up. So give it another. I mean, you'd buy 10 days to see if you feel more comfortable with Banuelos or Whistler, or stretch Perez out. I just think it's going to, we're going to get 4 1/3 from Perez and tax the bullpen. And so I'm not for it. All right, Kurt, next up, Mike Minor is out for the season after exploratory surgery, found an issue with his labrum. It is torn. They have to repair it. So, fair or foul, sign him for the 2016 season.
I sadly do not. I think his career arc is kind of plateauing. And for a guy that we picked 7th overall, he seems like he should be a lot further along in his career at this point. But I mean, it's one season that we're hanging it all on, and the others have been kind of pedestrian, really. It's 38-36 career with a 4.10 ERA. So it's not like he's been lights out and had one blip where he had the season last year where he was so bad. It's just been kind of average with one decent season, and then the rest has not been really all that much to write home about. So I don't see how you sign him.
It's really a shame, because a couple of years ago when he had that stretch when he really was the best pitcher on the team.
Oh, yeah.
And looked like he could be an ace. I mean, it looked like he could be an ace. Imagining this season of Minor in that rotation and just hoping and assuming he was going to regain his form. You know, if they let him go back to arbitration, they have to, at a minimum, they have to pay him $4.5 million next year, which is 80% of what he's making this year, which is 6 point something. So if they designate him, if they release him and then sign him as a free agent for like $1 million with incentives, I would consider it. I mean, the good news is that he's going to be able to start throwing again September, October. So they're going to get a bunch of information on Mike Minor before they have to make this decision to see how he looks. But, the success rate coming back from shoulder surgery is nowhere near as good as coming back from Tommy John surgery. That's a bad place to get surgery on as a pitcher. And he's been so injured. Yeah, I just don't see it. I can't see them doing it.
He's currently being fitted for a Kansas City Royals uniform as we speak.
Exactly. So, Kurt, the Giants signed Tommy Hansen to a minor league deal this week. Fair or foul? Any jealousy over that move? Or you are jealous over that move?
Yeah, that's a name, and I don't even remember who I was looking up the other night, and all of a sudden I saw Tommy Hansen's name. It was kind of like a, here's where he falls. It was one of the baseball reference things, and at the bottom of the page they list kind of comparable players, and his name popped up, and I was like, God, Tommy Hansen. Hadn't even thought about Tommy Hansen. The answer is foul, obviously, but it is interesting to look. I looked at his numbers, and strikingly, they are better than Minor's numbers. I know that he completely fell off the rails and has now not even been able to catch on even in minor league camps. But, I mean, his career is 49-35 with a 380 ERA. So he certainly had more there when it was there than even Minor did. And it's really sad. Another guy whose career just completely came apart. And it really is amazing. I mean, as we've done this show, and as you follow these guys more and more, it's amazing how short the window of time can be. And of course we look back, think about a guy like Steve Avery, who was so amazing for such a short period of time for us, you know, and he's like the poster child for these types of guys.
Yeah. I would have assumed that sitting here in 2015, he would have been part of the rotation and you know, a foundational part of it. Yeah, I mean, so his last year with the Braves, 2012, his ERA was 4.48. In 2013, he had 13 starts with the Angels. Remember, we traded him for Jordan Walden. Yeah, sorry, Jordan Walden. He had 13 starts with the Angels in 13. His ERA was 5.42. Last year, he only had 10 starts for the AAA White Sox, posted a 6.16 ERA. So no thanks.
There was that half season where it was he and JJ who were both just out of the world. I think they both made the All-Star game, I think, that year. And you think about, and not that the Braves would ever had any sort of insight into this, but if they had come out of the All-Star break and said, you can have Tommy Hansen and Jair Jurgens, what they could have gotten back for both of those guys at that one moment in time.
Yeah. So Hansen has a birthday in August, Kurt. Guess how old he turns in August?
I'm sure it's much younger than I think it is. I will say 29.
That is exactly right. Well done, nice. Kurt. 29, you know? I mean, he should be in his prime.
Right.
All right. So, everybody, we are approaching our 300th show in 2 weeks, and we'd like to celebrate that by reaching 5,000 followers on Twitter. So help us, please spread the word on Twitter, on Facebook, help us get to 5,000 followers. All righty. So Kurt, our newest segment, Find the Silver Lining, what you can hang your hat on this week. What do you got this week?
Well, and unfortunately he got hurt today, but, Phil Gosselin was great. He batted 500 this week. He had that huge hit and then came around and got the game winning run on the wild pitch off of Chapman. He's played good defense.
That game, I'm sorry, I want to stop you there. That Monday night game, in an otherwise pretty horrid series with the Reds, that whole sequence was so great. Getting that hit off of Chapman, stealing third, coming home on the wild pitch. It was really beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of these guys that's kind of been around. I mean, not that he's been around for a while, but that there's never really a place for him. He's almost like Pastrnicki, you know. I mean, you want to see the guy get his shot because you feel like he's the type of guy that's probably working really hard and doing everything he really is told to do and doing everything he can for the team and all those kind of things. And so you hope that this is not an injury like poor Pastrnicki got with his knee and things like that. And that he bounces back and continues to play well. I mean, I don't, you know, have any expectation that he's going to be our starting third baseman, but good for him, and what a great week. And then, as I mentioned, Ciriaco comes up and goes 3-for-7 and hits two doubles in his replacement. So that was nice to see too. So we'll just call it the third base, as Ham calls, poo-poo platter for the week.
Okay. I'm going to go back to Jim Johnson, who I just continues to amaze. Four appearances this week, four innings pitched, no runs, no walks, three hits. Again, pretty great considering that brutal stretch he had like 4 weeks ago where it looked like, oh my God, we wrung him dry in the first 2.5 weeks. That's about as good as it's going to get. And now he's bounced back. And I mean, he hasn't given up an earned run since May 4th. And before that was April 22nd. Like it's been, he's having a nice run here.
All right. Would folks, you say you're drinking the Jim Johnson Kool-Aid?
I am. I'm very nice. That's good for our younger listeners.
Go look up
Guyana. All right. So our last word of the night from Front Row Seats. Don't forget to get the best deals on tickets online. Visit frontrowseatsllc.com. Use discount code ABT and you won't be charged any service fees. That's frontrowseatsllc.com. All right, Curtis, time for Shot in the Dark, our prediction for the coming week. And let's go back and look at our listener pick from last week. It was from Camper10 on Twitter. He predicted that Eric Stoltz would allow the least amount of runs in the rotation this week. He was so wrong that Stoltz got sent to the bullpen. So, sorry, Camper10. All right, before we get to our predictions for this coming week, let's check in on what we did last week. Kurt, you predicted that the starters would only get one win this week. And the starters actually only, despite four wins, the starters had two, Wood and Miller.
So close.
So, yeah, close. Ham predicted that Freeman would have two home runs and two doubles. And he was just off by two home runs and two doubles.
So close.
So close. And I predicted that Maben would go crazy in Cincinnati and hit three home runs this week. And he hit none. So, Curtis, congratulations.
I'm dominating this year.
You are dominating this year. You've got two wins in May, and you won April. All right, so, Kurt, what do you got this coming week?
Well, you dumped on him, and so I'm going in on jumping hard on the Williams-Perez bandwagon. Six innings pitched in your face, three earned runs, two Ks.
Okay, I'm going to stay with pitching as well. So Folty has two starts this week. I predict he gives up three earned across both of those starts. And speaking of that, let's look at the week ahead. So it's the start of a homestand, one of those bizarre two-game series, and the start of interleague play for us. So two games with the Rays, and then four games with the Brewers. And here are the matchups. So Folty against Nathan Carnes and his 3.77 ERA. I didn't write. Who comes after Folty? That would be... it's Williams-Perez. Yeah, so Williams-Perez faces Erasmo Ramirez, who has a 6.66 ERA. So aside from him being a devil worshiper, he's actually been great his last eight starts. Like his first two starts, he gave up seven runs and eight runs, but he's been like a lot of zeros and ones and twos. So he has figured something out.
Well, he's sold his soul.
Yeah, exactly. On to the Brewers series, we get Teherán Matt Garza and his ERA over five. Although remember Saturday night? It was last night or Friday night. He was the guy that gave up 10 earned to the Mets when the Mets just went crazy that game, this series. Yeah. Wood faces Willie Peralta and his 4.3 ERA. Shelby Miller faces Mike Fears and his 5 ERA. And then to close out that four-game series with the Brewers, Folty faces Jimmy Nelson and his 4.22 ERA. So, Kurt, six games this week. What do you got?
I'm getting that they're going to be a combined 27 people that are at the Rays plus Brewers series throughout the week and Turner Field this week. I'm going to go 4-2, 1-1, 3-1.
I was going to do that, and then I decided that we're going 5-1 this week.
Nice.
Yes, we're going to sweep the Rays. Oh, the Rays are actually quite good. You know, the Rays are like one game out of first, and they're like four games over 500. But we're going to sweep the Rays, take 3 of 4 from the Brewers. I mean, the Brewers are bad. You know, the Brewers really are not good, and the pitching is not impressive.
Yeah, those are some grim ERAs that you were just throwing out there.
They really are. So I think we have a 5-1 week coming up.
I like it.
All right, folks, that is the show. Make sure you have us in your RSS feeds or subscriptions on iTunes or Stitcher so that you don't miss any of our weekly shows. And as always, check us out at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com for past shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comments section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.